The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse.
The beast.
We're told in the book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan. Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
They're here.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
From the heart of the Missouri Ozarks, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and welcome to our humble bunker, everybody. We want to also make sure that before we get too involved,
yes,
that we also say hello to new listeners, because we've received emails and notices on Facebook from many of you who have started watching our Sci Fridays via Skywatch TV, and you've decided that you want to hear the podcast too. You poor people.
That's it. Well, welcome, and thanks for joining us for the audio version of what we do on a weekly basis. Yeah, this actually predates the video thing. The video thing is just a relatively new
development.
Yes.
I mean, just barely scratching the surface.
Yes, Tom
We've
Horn
been
was
doing this
crazy
for
enough to give us access to some cameras.
Tom Horn's been listening to PID Radio for a long, long time, and that's how we got together with him.
Yes.
Many, many years ago. We've been doing this since March of 2005.
That's it. Yeah. Back in the days when we had to record on bamboo.
Stone with, you know, bamboo. Exactly.
That's it. Yeah.
It's been a long time. By the way, in case you're wondering, PID stands for Peering Into Darkness, which is what we do spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
We believe that the Lord has called us to look in places you really would rather not go, and we report back and tell you what the enemy's up to.
Yeah, because both of us come from backgrounds where we were involved in, things of the world, you know, that were pop culture. I mean, you were
sci-fi. I was a rock and roll singer,
yeah,
back in the day.
I was a top 40 disc jockey. So,
oh yeah,
yeah. I mean, in fact, program director. There were when I was in St. Louis on the air there, I was responsible for picking out the records that I thought were going to be the hits.
You're the one to blame, eh?
Yes.
Yeah.
And as our daughter got old enough and began to realize, as I started to reevaluate my walk, I was like, I don't want her listening to these things that I was putting on the radio back then.
But anyway, Derek and I, I've been a believer since I was very young. Derek's been a believer since he was very young. Both of us sort of wandered off the ranch, so to speak, as we got older, as many kids do. So, yeah, exactly. So if you have kids or grandkids that you know trust in Christ as their Savior, but they don't act like it, trust me, He walks alongside of those who believe in Him, and He keeps us from going too far,
mm-hmm,
and He eventually brings us back home.
And
so
thank the Lord for His patience, because it's, doing things that I'm not proud of now.
Well,
me
too.
Yeah, so
lots of things. Well, we are close to Halloween, and you've got a VFTB, which stands for View from the Bunker, by the way. VFTB interview coming up with Jud Burton.
Mm-hmm.
Where you annually discuss spooky things with him from Christian Worldview.
It's become kind of a tradition on the interview program, View from the Bunker. Dr. Jud Burton is the author of a book called Interview with the Giant, Ethnohistorical Notes on the Nephilim. But he's also been kind of interested in horror,
mm-hmm,
as a genre of entertainment, but also in the tropes, those types of monsters that have the stories of those monsters that have been handed down through the generations,
mm-hmm,
and how they might have originated.
Yeah, exactly, because many of those monsters have become sort of glamorous,
yes,
and even sexy now,
right,
when in fact, when they were originally created back in the day, they weren't considered sexy or glamorous. They were considered terrifying and just antithetical to everything that a Christian believes in. So
exactly.
Glad you talked to him again.
So, yeah, and this time we did talk a bit more about entertainment, pop culture, movies, television programs, why it is that people are why zombies are the hot monster for the last couple of years now. AMC, the cable channel, had such success with The Walking Dead that they spun off a new series about zombies.
You know, I don't get zombies. I really don't. Once you've seen them, it's okay, another zombie. But because it is close to Halloween and because spooky things are all over the internet right mm-hmm. now, I want to talk about something that really didn't seem quite appropriate for Sci Friday, but I think it's important that we at least address it. And that is this viral video that's all over the internet made by originally posted by a Swedish blogger at GadgetZZ. Hmm. He posted this video that he claims he received in the mail as a DVD. And I will show Derek just in case he's not familiar with what I'm talking about.
No, I haven't.
It's a video that features, it's all black and white, and it's a video that features someone dressed like a plague doctor from back in the 16th century.
Huh.
Excuse me. It's a really creepy looking person. There's lots and lots of imagery. There are embedded files. There are all sorts of cryptographic elements in here. And the reason this even hit the mainstream media, because I originally saw it linked at Above Top Secret, which is a forum for conspiracy folks like myself, because this actually someone claims to have deciphered one of the embedded hidden elements in here as a threat against the president of the United States.
Oh.
Because of that, it's been all over the place now. And honestly, I have not watched the video because I keep reading on various fora that discuss this video that it's very disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, like I said, PID stands for Peering into Darkness. And so Derek and I try to report back on what we see that your kids and grandkids are probably, you know, hearing about and doing and won't tell you. But this one, honestly, I decided not to watch it because everybody kept talking about how disturbing it was. And sometimes there are elements within a video or an audio track that are intended to, quote unquote, trigger someone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that I have anything within my programming, you might say, that can be triggered. But I figure, why would I do this? I can read about it. I can read all the stuff that's been discovered in it. And that's plenty for me. But so I'm not saying that you should go watch this video. But I think if you want to sort of keep up with what your kids are probably discussing, this is more than likely one of them.
Yeah. And we've talked about similar things to this. The what was that series of puzzles that was put out there?
Cicada 33?
Cicada 33. We talked about that previously. This is seems to be almost something like this. The audio track that accompanies the video is really screechy and noisy, but when you analyze it through a spectrogram, it actually includes text phrases in the spectrogram, which is really bizarre. I mean, you're getting into some...
somebody with some chops.
Yeah, yeah. So this is really creepy. There's a coordinate puzzle in here which just happens to... Oh, okay. So it correlates to
the White
GPS.
House.
Well, not the GPS, but the actual latitude and longitude of the White House.
Yeah.
So
so the fact that this man is, or woman, could be either one, is wearing what appears to be a plague outfit that a doctor would have worn back in... the plague in Europe.
Oh, so the bird-like mask.
Well, that's the claim that apparently this is very similar to, you know, drawings of what the doctor would have worn in that day,
mm-hmm.
is being taken as a biological threat.
Hmm. Hmm. Yeah, it is bizarre. Well, you can find it if you like. I don't think we'll post a link to this in the show notes.
But if you just look up viral video spooky, you'll find it. The site where I found it is maxim.com, maxim.com. You can find it all sorts of places. But, you know, again, I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah. Apparently, this has been posted a couple of times previously to the internet. The description to the video at YouTube is in binary.
Well, that's probably another clue.
And translated into Spanish. And the binary code, when you decipher it, reads muerte, which means death.
Death, yeah.
And the description reads, te queda uno año menos, meaning you have 1 year left or less. So nobody knows who
Now, and honestly, this may not be an actual terror threat. This may be a recruiting tool.
It may be a recruiting tool, or this could be a viral video for
a movie coming out, or a game.
You know, earlier this year, we talked about the Charlie Challenge, mm-hmm. and the demon summoning game that was apparently very popular in, especially in, I guess it was all over. But one of the horror movies released over the summer tried to latch onto this and use it as part of a viral marketing campaign for the film. And it's possible that this is, because it is really weird. It's the kind of thing that you look at it and you try to figure out, you know, what exactly is going on here. So not sure yet if this is a, you know, if it's viral marketing for a horror film, there, you'd think that they would want it released like today. We would already see it in the theaters today.
Yeah, so because this video, I read about this originally about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's really, that, well.
Yeah, like I said, I didn't think it was appropriate for Sci-Friday because even though it is tech, but, you know, it's just super creepy. Just so if anybody, you know, around you talks about this, just say, you know what they're talking about and leave it at that.
Yeah. Well, you want to talk about creepy. This week was the annual holiday called Ashura, spelled Ashury, which in Shia Islam is the day when young men flagellate themselves with whips and that are, you know, have sharp pieces of metal tied into them, and they basically beat themselves bloody. It's in commemoration of the death of the grandson of Muhammad, the founder of Islam. Imam Hussein was killed, he and his entourage, at the Battle of Karbala by the caliph, which is why Karbala was in Iraq is mm-hmm. such an important site for Shia Islam, and why it was such a big deal when, and I forget how long, maybe this might even be 10 years ago now, because our military's been in Iraq since 2003.
Yeah.
A very important mosque in Karbala was attacked or blown up by Sunni militia unit, I believe. See, this is the danger when I try to get into a topic.
You know, I think I know what you're talking about, and that was a long time ago, if it's the one I'm remembering, and it had to do with the location of that mosque being important to the hidden imam.
Right, because Hussein is believed, it's believed that he didn't die, he just went into occlusion.
Yeah, and occultation.
Occultation, and he will come out again, sort of like the legend of King Arthur, you know, the once and future king. When Britain is in its darkest hour and needs, you know, Arthur will return. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like that's sort of the legend among Shia Islam with the 12th imam. But boys and men in Afghanistan, Iraq, will basically cut themselves and make themselves bleed. I mean, it really is a gruesome and bloody ceremony. Now, in Britain, in Manchester, they've got a substantial Islamic population there, and rather than cutting themselves and making themselves bleed, the men will take off their shirts and slap themselves on the chest until their chests are, you know, beet red. Or, I mean, just bright red from the slapping. Which, you know, and there's some pictures I'm looking at here, and that's saying something, because again, you're talking about men of Arabic extraction. They've got typically a darker skin tone.
Right.
So to raise the kind of welts needed to make your skin red, it's, you know, you're hitting with some force.
You know, we are just not called to do that. You know, and there are some within the Christian faith who self, you know,
right,
flagellate themselves in order to bring up welts or blood. And Jesus Christ shed his blood for us.
Yes.
However, the enemy would love for us to shed our blood for him.
If anything, this is reminiscent of what the prophets of Baal did when they were confronted by Elijah.
Yes.
They cut themselves until they bled in trying to summon Baal mm-hmm. to consume their offering.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are images. You can find it if you like. In Afghanistan, there's an image here of a guy who's got like 10 different knives connected to cords, and he's whipping himself on the back, and his back is just, yeah, it is.
Okay, well, that's enough of that.
Yeah, so, but right, this is not the kind of thing that anyone is called to do. In fact, the shedding of blood is specifically prohibited. Human blood is prohibited in the Bible, and God says there will be a reckoning required for the shedding of human blood.
Even an animal
right,
that sheds human blood,
and
yes.
That, I think, is just you know, at the risk of offending anyone, that's just more evidence that the Islamic faith is worshiping a fallen angel or a demon or both.
Yes.
Because this is not something that God would require of his followers.
No, he would not. Yahweh, Jehovah.
Yes.
Our Lord and Savior. Nope.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of religion, I want to address something that has been popping up here and there, and that is that there may be a split in the Vatican.
Yeah. I flagged that one to talk about, too.
Yeah, well, the story out today is that there definitely is some sort of a split. It has to do with Pope Francis's program to make the church more warm and fuzzy and inclusive. This is definitely not what some within the Vatican want. However, a recent book makes it appear that a quote-unquote Vatican mafia has been, let's just say, influencing the Pope, not only Francis, but also Benedict before him. And that may be why Benedict resigned.
Was forced out, right. The biography is of the Cardinal Godfried Daniels of Belgium. I believe he's the Archbishop, what's the word for when a professor is emeritus, Archbishop Emeritus of Brussels. Admits in this biography that he was part of what he called a mafia club.
Yeah, he used the word mafia.
Yeah, of liberal cardinals that included Cardinal Jorge Bergoglio of
Pope Francis.
Is now Pope Francis. Mm-hmm. They basically worked together to frustrate the conservative doctrinal policies of Pope Benedict, the former Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, and convinced him to quit because his health was poor and it was in the best interest of the church and so forth. And then once he was eased out, then they arranged, you know, to get Pope Francis elected.
Yeah, and now, curiously enough, we have rumors going around the internet and in Vatican City that Pope Francis has a brain tumor.
Yes. There was a story that was floated a couple of weeks ago that a small benign tumor was discovered in the Pope.
And honestly, that's not all that unusual, especially as we age. Mm-hmm. Sometimes just a virus will leave that behind.
Yeah.
So he may or may not actually have one, but the stories, you know, are just, it's like, oh, will he resign too? And in fact, there was a rumor going around last week that he was going to be resigning next year.
Yeah. So they just wrapped up, by the way, their three-week Synod on the Family. This is the second one they've called in 2 years. It's a gathering of bishops from all over the world. And we talked about this last week, how a group of 13 conservative cardinals had a letter hand-delivered by Pope or by Cardinal George Pell of Australia. He's the head of the Vatican's finances. So he's influential. He's powerful. But then there were questions raised about what actually was in the letter. Some of the 13 cardinals who allegedly signed the letter then went public and said, no, I didn't. So we're not really sure what's going on. But clearly there are tensions that have been coming to a head at this Synod on the Family. The conservatives in the Vatican and conservatives in the Roman Catholic faith around the world have been concerned that this synod was intended to liberalize Vatican practices and Roman Catholic doctrine on how the church deals with people who've divorced and then remarried outside the church.
Yes.
Because unless their marriage is officially annulled by the Roman Catholic Church, when they remarry, they're, in the eyes of the church, living in adultery and then thus not allowed to take communion. And also how the church deals with transgendered individuals and homosexuals. An archbishop from Kazakhstan actually said at this synod that some of the policy changes being floated have the scent of, and I quote, infernal smoke, brimstone, which hints back at
the book by Malachi Martin.
Malachi Martin, right, when he talked about the synagogue of Satan, so Lucifer's Lodge. There's something going on inside the Roman Catholic Church there. The conservative
Lucifer's
cardinals.
Lucifer's Lodge written by David.
William Kennedy. William H. Kennedy.
Yeah,
late William Kennedy. So, but he based it on
Malachi Martin's work.
Malachi Martin's work. So, in fact, there was an op-ed that appeared in a, prominent Roman Catholic blog, a blog that deals with the issues of Roman Catholic doctrine and news from the Vatican, which is written by somebody who's supposed to be, according to this piece, a very wise, and I'm quoting, very wise, knowledgeable, and highly influential cleric, mm-hmm. writing under the pen name of Don Pio Pace.
Hmm.
And it is very conservative, and it's titled The Failed Francis Pontificate. So, yeah, the Pope is The Failed Francis Pontificate, Finding Another Path for the Church. So, now, again, we are, again, if you're new to PID Radio, you know, both of us come from Protestant upbringings, mm-hmm. you know, Sharon raised in the Baptist Church. I was raised in several different denominations, but actually converted to Roman Catholicism for a while when mm-hmm. I was previously married. And then, you know, not to be flippant about it, but then I actually opened the Bible and started to read it.
But understand that neither one of us has, you know, any particular grudge against any particular denomination.
No.
Nearly every denomination out there, once you get to the leadership at the very top, you're going to find people who may not be doing their job as well as they should be when we have to answer to the Lord. Derek and I make a lot of mistakes.
Yes.
But you know, historically, the Catholic Church has moved farther and farther away from what most of us believe is the way Christianity was laid out in the first century.
Yeah. But having said that, you could make the same claim about Protestant denominations
absolutely.
That have a church hierarchy as well, because we don't see that modeled in the church recorded in the New Testament.
Absolutely. And, you know, some of the most wonderful, sincere, amazing believers that I have known in my lifetime have come from high liturgical churches like mm-hmm. the Lutheran Church, the old Methodist Church back in the day. That mm-hmm. was more high church, Episcopalian Church, the Catholic Church. I mean, there are lots of more traditional, as I say, high church where, you know, maybe it's more formal than many of the churches that most of us probably go to today. Derek and I, honestly, if you're wondering, I have probably sung in probably 1,000 different churches or more in my lifetime, and probably 100 different denominations. And so I've been inside a lot of them. I dated a Catholic when I was in high school, so I very nearly,
who knows?
Yeah,
and then I married one.
And my parents were like, you're not going to date him. But anyway, my parents are from Eastern Kentucky. They're Baptists from way back. But I've been, Derek and I have both been to a lot of churches. And since we've been married, and we've been married now since January of 1998, mm-hmm. long time. Mm-hmm. And every day is sweeter, honey. Every day is sweeter. Anyway, we've been married for a while. We've tried a lot of churches, too, mm-hmm. and we finally gotten to the point where neither one of us goes formally to a church anymore, but we host a Bible study mm-hmm. on Sunday mornings. So if you are unchurched and you just want someone to study with, you know, we invite you to join that. It's at gilberthouse.org, and it, you know, we slap our way through it, pray our way through it, do our best to dig in there and see what might be there, what the Lord's providing us, you know, to learn that day. And mm-hmm. it's a slow path.
Yeah. We've been
at
just
this
about
for
a year.
Yeah.
Just about a year. Cause we've just posted our 48th study.
Yeah. And we've had a few Sundays that we've taken off because of holidays or family, you know, conflicts mm-hmm. or whatever. But yeah, it's been about a year and we've finally made it through about almost toward the end of Deuteronomy.
Right, right. So we try to take our time and not rush through it. And the thing that has really amazed us is how much more is in the scripture when you're actually going through it and reading it and doing a line-by-line exegesis.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that, you know, what I do would be called exegesis. I mean, that's probably stretching the definition of the term.
I feel the same way, too. But honestly, what you and I do, anybody can do.
Yes.
You know, where you're just using tools that are available online and in most of your Bibles.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a Bible that's got footnotes and, you know, and various little, you know, explanations in the side margins.
And that will sometimes lead us down rabbit trails that involve some other interesting study. But,
imagine us going down a rabbit trail. Good grief. We never do that. I was trying to see if there was another story because we're trying to keep these. We're trying to do them more often.
Well,
there for a long time, we were doing 1 hour a week, and then we got to where we were lucky to do 1 hour a month. Now we're trying to do about about 30 minutes on a Saturday, and I'm sure that we passed that already.
Not quite. We got another 5 minutes or so.
Well, good for us.
Well, there are a couple of things. We'll let you pick one here. The Return of Planet X again, once more, part two.
Part 99.
Yeah. Strong Cities Network, which is a United Nations initiative that's making its way into the U.S. Mm-hmm. Or we could talk about CERN trying to make contact with higher dimensions.
Well, I know we talked about that on a Sci-Friday, and we can discuss mm-hmm. that if you want to. I'm happy to, whatever you want to talk about, honey.
Well, the Strong Cities Network is, the other thing we could talk about, the Parliament of World Religions that wrapped up this past week in Salt Lake City.
You should probably address that. And have you already spoken with Carl about that?
No. I'm going to talk to Carl Teichrib, who is the editor of Forcing Change, which is an online journal we highly recommend, who was in Salt Lake City for the Parliament of World Religions. And I'm going to talk with him this week about that.
It was interesting that it was in Salt Lake City.
Right. Yes. A gathering of about 14,000 people who represented all different faiths and walks of religion. There was a small contingent of Bible-believing Christians who were there. There were others who professed to be Christians, but I think we're stretching the definition of that
term. Maybe don't believe in the Bible quite as much as...
No, they're it's a living document. It's a breathing document. But you Buddhists, Hindus, neo-pagans, basically Satanists. All coming together... I don't know about Satanists, but you might say that
there are some who claim to be that, and they're very proud of it.
Yeah, and there are some who sadly think they're following another path, who are actually following.
Yeah, well,
it was a very New Agey gathering. It was essentially mm-hmm. very universalist.
Yeah,
all paths lead to God, and we're all
it's all good.
Yeah, it's really fuzzy thinking. It's completely illogical because. None of these can claim to be right if they're saying that they're all right.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, but this is not a big Venn diagram that overlaps perfectly.
Yeah.
Not everyone is right. Mm-hmm. There is a truth and that's it. And,
exactly.
And our Lord and Savior claims that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and he is the only way.
Yeah. Well, Jesus would have been booed out of most of the plenary sessions at the Parliament of World Religions. There were Native Americans there dressed in full headdresses and in their traditional clothing, Buddhist monks, Catholic priests, Jewish rabbis, and again, just very, very New Agey. There was a session, this kind of gives you an idea of how the Parliament approached the various world religions. There was a session called Charter for Compassion, and it compared and contrasted various religions. Kill them, Quran. Do not spare them, Torah. And cast them into everlasting fire, New Testament. The context of difficult religious texts. So what they're saying is that Muhammad's command to his followers to kill the infidels is on par with the Lord's punishment for those who reject him, the everlasting fire that awaits those after the final judgment.
Yeah.
And basically it's to say, well, no, I mean, this sort of, thinking is dangerous. There was actually, one speaker who said it's, the intolerant attitude typified by Jesus' statement that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. It's that sort of mindset, that belief that your religion is the only correct one that leads to violence in this world and must be stamped out. And that was kind of what led to my discussion the other day on Skywatch TV of the Strong Cities Network, which is this United Nations initiative that four American cities are going to participate in to try to train police to look for that sort of mindset, because that's where violent extremism mm-hmm. comes from.
Yeah, but let's remind everybody that you and I aren't saying these things because we're terrified.
No,
we're not intimidated by it. What we see is prophecy being fulfilled. The Lord told his disciples.
Yes.
And Daniel and the book of Revelation, we see over and over again as we get to the last days that it's going to get really hard for those who claim Christ as Savior.
Right, right. And let's see, in the United States, the four cities participating in the Strong Cities Network include New York City, Atlanta, Denver, and Minneapolis. Also, Montreal in Canada. And then the overseas cities, Paris, London, Beirut, and Oslo. So working with the United Nations, local authorities will be working to identify the early indicators of extremism, which would include people who say, I'm sorry, but as a follower of Jesus Christ, I know where my eternity is going to be spent. Yeah. But unless you accept Christ, then sorry, you're out.
Well, let me just say a few of those cities are going to run into some problems because most of us Christians, you know, we're not likely to come after you.
No.
You know, we're generally pretty easy to get along with. We have been called to turn the other cheek,
yeah,
to love our neighbor as ourselves, you know, to put the welfare of someone else before our own.
Mm-hmm.
We are called to lift up Christ and Him crucified, but we are to show the love of Christ at all times.
Right. And
however, there are some who are moving into Europe who don't quite see the world that way.
Exactly. And moving into North America as well. Canada, yeah, the United States accepting refugees. And we just keep seeing reports that, you know, boy, there seem to be an awful lot of young adult men in these groups, way out of proportion to, I mean, yeah, they're not coming with families.
Yeah. Poor Slovenia. It's taking the brunt of many of the refugees in air quotes, mm-hmm, who are moving in there. And they're mostly young men. And in fact, there was a story a couple of days ago that the refugee camp that was intended to hold about, oh, I think it was something like 400 people, it had probably 4,000 or more people who were in it.
Right.
And the authorities told the people who had arrived, it's going to be at least 24 hours before we can clear you and you can move on. And the young men didn't like that, and they burned their tents down.
Yeah. Yeah, and there are stories coming out of Europe at people who are working with these folks coming in who are being subjected to abuse, some cases sexual assaults. It's not, yeah, not a good situation. And again, as Sharon said, that it's ironic that we've got American cities who are saying that, you know, people with these intolerant ideas, like Christians who believe they've got the only path to heaven, are the, you know, that's the source. And again, the Parliament of World Religions, you know, passing along the same message. It's that sort of intolerant, exclusivist mindset that leads to violence. Christians are told in Romans 13, and I want to clarify something here because I know I got a little pushback from the program I did on Skywatch TV earlier this week. Romans 13, you know, 1 Peter, 2 Timothy, there are a few different verses there where we are told to obey the human authorities in government, to pray for the emperor, pray for the kings,
mm-hmm,
you know, so that we basically, until that point where the government says you need to do something that fundamentally contradicts your Christian faith,
yeah,
then we are to obey the authorities. And I had some guys who got upset about that. So, well, when the government's not acting like they should, then we don't have a responsibility to fight. I'm sorry, I don't see.
No, we don't get to make that choice.
Now, I have no problem with somebody defending himself or defending his family against a violent attacker.
No, and neither do I.
Yeah. And so, you know, I don't have a problem with that. But frankly, as I looked at, and I went back into the Bible because sometimes, you know, those challenges to things that I say are good because they force me to go back and make sure that I understand what the Word of God says.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see exceptions in Scripture for obey the human authorities unless it's the other political party. Obey the human authorities unless they impose taxes on you that you feel are too high. Obey the human authorities unless you disagree with their view of God's word,
right,
or marriage or whatever.
Yeah. There are times, though, that we will be asked to do things that,
right,
are absolutely against what we've been taught in the Bible.
Yeah.
And the most extreme will be you are to worship and fall down and proclaim me God, says the Antichrist.
Right.
And that's the only way you're going to get to buy and sell and stay alive.
Yeah. And we saw an example of how Christians behave in circumstances like that in the first century when they were fed to the lions and the animals in the,
yeah,
the amphitheater in Rome because they would not bow down to the emperor.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, short of that, short of the being commanded by the government to do something that fundamentally violates the Christian faith, I don't see, you know, scriptural support for saying we can disobey the government as Christians because we feel the government isn't acting very Christ-like. Well, just remember when Paul and Peter wrote those letters, the emperor was Nero, you know, who, according to some historians from the era, was actually dipping Christians in wax and using them as tiki torches.
Yeah.
So now there's some question as to whether that's accurate or not.
But the fact is, he wasn't a warm and fuzzy guy.
He wasn't a warm and fuzzy guy, and Christians were being oppressed for not worshiping.
You know, when it's something that's that obvious, it's easy for us to figure it out.
Yeah.
There are other times, though, where we're slowly being steered off course.
Yeah.
And if you don't notice the little incremental, you know, turns, you somehow find yourself deep in the woods and way off the path and figure, well, how did I get here? You're asking yourself. And one of those is the way that, and this is something I'm writing a chapter about, that's, there's a book coming out next year through Defender Publishing and Skywatch TV that's going to be all about trying to figure out what the next 10 years holds.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I'm trying to decipher is how media is slowly steering us away and will continue to steer us away from the way that the Lord would have us walk.
Yeah.
And because of that, there are times that you have to, okay, I'm not going to have this in my home, and I'm not going to allow this in my home, and I'm going to try to make sure my children realize when they watch this television show or play this video game or read this book that they're actually being, I hate to use the word programmed, but when you're really young, it's really – it's easy to have someone tell you how to think. You don't realize you're being told how to think, but that's actually what's going on.
Yeah.
But as adults, we're also told how to think all the time.
Exactly.
And, you know, sometimes it's Facebook that slowly moves you over to a certain point where, hey, I guess I'll put a rainbow on my picture today. I'm not saying if you put a rainbow on your picture that you're bad. I'm not saying that at all. It's just, before you, you know, like a post or whatever, you know, think about, okay, what's this really say about my walk?
Being a Christian means having to really think about just about everything, you know, and how does this fit into the two great commands that we were given by God?
Yeah.
And how does this square with the standards of morality that he laid out in Scripture?
And does that mean that you and I get it right every time?
No.
We get it wrong a lot of the time. And that's one of the reasons that it is good when you call us on it.
Exactly. So, as we've said multiple times, don't take what we say as gospel. Only take the gospel as gospel.
Amen to that. Yeah. Well, I think we've probably gone 30 or more.
We have. GilbertHouse.org for our Gilbert House Fellowship tomorrow. We'll continue through the book of Deuteronomy.
Yep. We post a new one every Sunday morning. So Sunday afternoon, check, and it should be there.
And then tomorrow night on A View from the Bunker, I will post an interview with Doug Woodward, author of the relatively new book, Is Russia Destined to Nuke the U.S.? About the situation.
That's a really good question.
Yeah, about the situation in Syria, which he wrote an article, posted at his website titled, Pick Your Poison, the U.S. Can't Win in Syria. And we get into the geopolitics of the situation there. And is the presence of Russian and Iranian troops on the ground in Syria a precursor to an Ezekiel 38-39, you know, Gog, Magog war?
Yeah. You know, having grown up in the United States, if you're relatively new to citizenship here, this probably doesn't include you. But when you're born and raised in this country, especially if you're as old as I am, you've grown up essentially being told the United States can do no wrong. We're always the good guys. We're the ones in the white hats. And if we choose to do it, then it's the right thing to do. And we better win because we will win. You know, I've said this before. There were lots of times that I look back on my upbringing and I just shake my own head thinking, gosh, I was buying into all that.
Another example of programming. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's sad. I agree with you.
And don't get me wrong. I love this country.
Well, yes,
I really do. But it's not, you know, perfect.
No. And as Christians, we have to view things a little differently. And I think a lot of us, again, including myself in this, because it's still affects the way I view things around the world. And I have to step back and say, wait. We're citizens first in the kingdom of God, which is not of this world.
Yes.
And we're citizens of the United States second. And yes, we are to live peaceable lives and pray for our president and our, you know, authorities in power because they are placed there at the discretion of God, even if we disagree with those leaders. But like I said, it doesn't mean that we, you know, the United States, you know, love it or leave it, because we are not necessarily the force for good in the world that we would like us to be.
Yeah, I wish we were.
Yes,
everything
amen.
That I was taught
amen.
When we were kids.
Yeah. Well, until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and Sam T. Gilbert says hello, too. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone.